Hello and welcome to the Manager Mojo Podcast. Steve Caldwell here. Let's start by recognizing someone who's doing something good.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good. I got you.
Oh. Guys, I gotta tell you, I love gadgets. And my latest gadget I got was I decided to get back into golf. And I bought this practice club that it's really kind of fun because it has a little big old golf ball that's magnetized and it slides down the shaft whenever you're swinging properly. And it's built to make you swing faster. And it's so much fun to swing that darn club each day because it actually makes me think I'm swinging the club fast, even though I know I'm really probably not. It might have helped me a little bit in my game. But just having it is so darn much fun. I love my gadgets and I love my practice club just because it makes me feel good.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good. I got you.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Manager Mojo Show, and I've got to tell you today we're in for a tremendous treat. My guest today is Bill George. Now, I know all of you know Bill because you've seen him on CNBC. Let me give you just a little background about him. He's a senior fellow at the Harvard Business School, former chairman and CEO of Medtronic, the world's leading medical technology company. Bill's leadership was amazing there. The Medtronic's market cap grew from $1.1 billion to $60 billion, averaging 35% a year. And he's the author of four best-selling books, including True North and Authentic Leadership. And I know most of you are probably familiar with True North, but today we're going to have a real treat. We're going to talk about his new book. Now, Bill serves on the boards of Goldman Sachs, Mayo Clinic, and recently on ExxonMobil, Novartis, and Target boards. He's been recognized as the Executive of the Year by the Academy of Management, Director of the Year by National Association of Corporate Directors, and received the prestigious Bauer Award for Business Leadership given annually to the nation's top business leader. I know we're all going to learn a tremendous amount today from Mr. Bill George. Bill, welcome to the Manager Mojo Show.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be with you.
Well, so excited about having you on the show today. And before we dive off and start talking about your new book, why don't you just tell us what fun thing you've been up to lately?
Well, I just got back from a barge trip in Burgundy with 12 close friends, including my wife. So we had six staterooms, and that was really, really cool. I've never did anything like that. You would think it'd be kind of boring going at about 2 miles an hour, but we had a chance to do a lot of biking and visit some chateaus and castles and wineries and other things, and just really a great place to hang out. So I would recommend it to anyone.
That sounds like an awesome trip and a lot of fun. Congratulations on doing that.
Thank you.
Bill, you've just recently released Discover Your True North, and I know all of us are familiar with the original book and use it as a standard. It's been a standard for a long time about how leaders really lead, and that was released in 2007. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the background of why did you update and release Discover Your True North, and help us understand what your objectives were for this particular book?
Well, we found a great deal has changed, Steve, about leadership in the last decade. And so we wanted to go out and talk to a new group of leaders. We had interviewed 125 people in depth for the first study and talked to 47 leaders for the current study to really see what has changed. And there's been a lot that's changed in leadership, dramatic changes. I think this is really important so we can help young people coming into leadership, particularly the Gen Xers and the Millennials, be prepared for the world they're facing today and some of the changes that have taken place.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's actually been more changes in the last 10 years than I think in the prior 20 myself. The millennials have certainly changed the way business is done. So when you looked at the updates and what's really going on, could you share with us maybe the top three things that have really changed from the last 10 years?
Well, clearly, leaders today don't want to work in highly structured bureaucratic organizations. So organizations have gone from their kind of, if you will, highly structured notion to being much more collaborative, much more open, mm-hmm. and people, more important, the leaders have changed. There's been a dramatic change in leaders to move much more from hierarchical leadership into becoming more authentic leaders or more open, more transparent, more visible to people, and frankly, more engaged. And I think this is all a very good sign. The second thing that's changed is we live in a global world, and today's leaders are truly global leaders. Or if they're not, they're going to have to become global leaders to be effective in this world, mm-hmm. to deal with very diverse people from all over the world, and to celebrate that diversity as a strength of their organization. And the third thing that should be obvious is technology and the media has changed so that people are listening to things on podcasts instead of sitting down listening to a regularly scheduled program.
Right.
They want their information when they want it. But they want to have the information, so a lot of it's instant information, but they want to have something that really reaches them. And that became very important, so that's why the whole world of social media, and they want to know their leaders as real people, not as some figurehead who's putting out videos or memos. And so today's leaders need to be very authentic in how they communicate. Many, many more are communicating over things like Twitter and Facebook and reaching people on a very personal, engaged basis all around the world. So it's a big challenge to be a leader in today's world.
It truly is a big challenge. And yet, you know, I think back about whenever I came up through leadership, and, you know, I've been around for a while. So the hierarchical leaders where they were closed and really information was rarely shared. I have watched those guys, people in my generation that are, they're just struggling big time with trying to be open. And yet you have to be if you're going to connect today, don't you?
You absolutely have to be. And I know this makes many people uncomfortable, but that's what people in your organization are asking for. So one of the things I advise leaders is to have some millennial mentors. Not mentees, mentors.
No, love
I've
it.
Got dozens of millennial mentees, but I've got two in particular. I'm thinking of one of them's a 30-year-old who's handling all my social media, who's mentored me a lot about how today's world operates. And I actually, in the last year or 6 months, have a mentee who's 20 years old, who's a junior at Harvard College. And boy, I'm learning a lot from these young people about how the world works. And I think that helps me be better prepared to deal not just with my generation, but all generations, and see these changes that are coming, and to try to characterize those in the new book. So in Discover Your True North, we picked up a lot of these outstanding millennial leaders who are having an impact. People like Mark Zuckerberg, who mm-hmm. everyone wishes they could be Mark Zuckerberg, but he's a guy that's really learned from mentors. So he isn't just a hotshot young technologist like some of these people. He's one that very, very serious. The people at Google, I was out at Google the other day, and you look what Larry Page and others have done out there, it's stunning. The kind of creative dynamic, it's now called the alphabet, because I think I cover every letter of the alphabet on their ventures, but they're doing breakthrough things, but they're also trying to wall themselves off from the short-term pressures that often take companies and leaders down. So I look at people like this. A couple of my mentees, one of them is the second youngest congressman in the United States Congress, Seth Moulton, is serving the government. Another one, Maura Sullivan, worked for PepsiCo for a number of years, and she's 34 years old. I think she's the youngest assistant secretary of defense in the government right now. And, you know, she's only 34, and she's head of all communications for the Department of Defense, and she's a line officer from the Marines. So it's just exciting to see people like this coming up.
Yeah.
Tracy Britt's another one who works with Warren Buffett. She's CEO of one of Buffett's companies and sits on the board of several others. And what a superstar, a former student of mine. So you see a lot of these people that are really coming into leadership roles. And I say, open the door and let them come on in. Give them the chance.
Absolutely. The world needs that type of leadership. And I often have guests on, and I've talked to a number of business leaders myself, that they really are struggling with the idea of especially the millennial generation, who actually does, they don't want to just know what to do, they want to know why they should do it.
Right.
And so could you give us some inspiration from some of the people that you've interviewed at how it works whenever you actually do kind of take that chance and really begin to move forward in that way?
Well, I think you open up new thinking, new ideas. That's why I love diversity around the decision-making table. It should be age diversity, national origin, race, gender, you name it. But it's not quotas, but I think just having different thoughts around the table and putting young people in charge of ventures. I had a chance to do that when I was 27 years old, when I started the consumer microwave oven business for Litton Industries. Well, somebody gave me a chance. And I made a lot of mistakes, but we also did a lot of things and made some breakthrough steps I don't think others would have done. And I learned a lot about leadership. So you need to give people opportunities at a young stage, or frankly, they move on and found their own companies. And that's the big tension today between established organizations and startups, is that people want those chances. And I think the progressive organizations that are giving young people a chance to show what they can do and are going to be very successful, and those that force them to stand in line are not going to get the talent.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. That talent's going to walk right out the door on them.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened. Frankly, that's the other thing, Steve, is people have options today. In the old days, you know, man, you wanted to get a job at 22 years old, stick around for 40 years, get your 40-year pin, retire, and probably die a few years later. Today, they have options, and so they're going to go where they are and where they want to, and a lot of them want to live overseas, have an opportunity to really embrace the global world. So I think that's great.
Well, we see it in all areas of our life, and I think if people were just watching a little bit of one thing that I learned from a lot is, and when I look at trends, is watch the difference in advertisements that appeal today to people versus 10 years ago. There's an advertisement now about a young man that's clearly a millennial. He sold everything he had, and he's bought a new car, and he's going to drive around the country, and is talking to his dad, and his dad says, "I wish I had done that."
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this is what's happening, isn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of them are driving around the world, too. I mean, you know, they're going and exploring different parts of the world, and they're coming back with a whole different view of things, and they're much more welcoming of immigrants. You know, we're all immigrants, Steve, one way or the other, except for a handful of Native Americans. We're all immigrants at one time. It's just a question of where our families came from and who we are. But, man, that's what's built this country. Entrepreneurship, creativity, new people coming here built this country and made business great, and that's why it's the most dynamic place in the world. I can tell you, everyone wants to come to the United States. When I meet people from Singapore or from Chile, Mexico, you know, they all want to live here because they know this land of opportunity. It really is. And so all I'm saying is, if we have that opportunity, if the country gives you those opportunities, let's do it right. Let's give back to the people, and let's make a difference with our work. There's no better way to make a difference in the world than the business community, in my opinion. You can have a huge impact for good, or you can have it for ill. And I think it's really important that people are trying to make a contribution on a positive basis.
Oh, I totally agree. And would it be safe to say, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, that, you know, maybe in my generation or your generation, it was all about me. It was, I did this and I do that. But we've changed from that today. Everything has to be about we, doesn't it?
Yes, I think that's a beautiful way to say it, Steve. We've gone from, I'm sad to say, my generation is looking like the me generation. And part of it was the Vietnam War and all. It got us off track because we were, you know, but nevertheless, that's the way it's coming out. And this really is the we generation. So we've gone from the me generation to the we generation. And I just hope they'll hold it. I hope they continue this, you know?
I do, too. I think it's very encouraging, very exciting. Tell us from your research, how does character now contribute toward the leader that's really going to embrace this we mentality today?
Well, I think almost entirely. I think leadership really is character. And I think people that don't have characters haven't really earned legitimacy to lead.
Mm-hmm.
And people are not going to want to follow them. And that's closely related to being authentic. And I think people can tell, Steve, and they all tell me they can, in first 60 seconds you meet someone, who's authentic and who's not.
Absolutely.
You can't fake it to make it. It's very hard to fool people.
Yeah, I you know, that's a saying that has always driven me absolutely bonkers when people would say, fake it till you make it. To me, you've got to be, you just simply have to be real and be aware that sometimes mistakes are going to be made. But I think one of the beauties of living a few years is that you understand that a mistake is actually just a great opportunity to learn.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have
exactly.
to be.
Exactly. That's the way I look at it, is the mistakes we make are learning opportunities. And it's better to make those with the little things when you're getting started out than to wait till you get in charge of the big things and make big mistakes. I've seen people do that too. So I think it's really important that people get those opportunities early.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea of fake it to make it, you may make it for a short term and fool people for a little while, but you're not going to do it for the long term, and you're not going to sustain yourself unless you keep changing companies so fast no one can catch up with you. People want to know who they're dealing with. And here's the thing. You're not going to get the support of the people unless they think you're real, unless they think you're authentic and someone they can trust. If they don't trust you, they're not. They might give you their bodies, but they're not giving you their whole selves. They're not going to get into it with passion and work long hours and really commit themselves to make a difference. It's just a job. And then you get disengaged people, and then you have a declining organization. And I can name lots of those that are declining because their people are not engaged.
Yeah. You know, why don't you, because I happen to agree totally. I know the numbers and the statistics behind worker disengagement because I work with a lot of companies, and so I get it. But why don't you kind of give an example for everybody? What does a disengaged worker look like?
They're there. It's just a job. They spend their lunch hours complaining about the company. They're worried about when the next layoff's coming or how much they're going to get to go away. And they are not concerned about quality. They're not concerned about their customers. They're just concerned about getting through the day. And they actually are a poison in an organization.
Mm-hmm.
They actually are very toxic. And they are the cynics that drag everyone else down. And this creates a very unhealthy environment if you get enough of them. And it doesn't take very many. And so I think they can really harm organization. So I encourage people to just bite the bullet and move on. When you see people like that in your organization, don't tolerate it. But it is true. And that, frankly, I don't blame the people. I blame the management.
Me too. Me too.
Of not inspiring people, you know?
Well, okay.
That's not healthy.
That's a phenomenal definition of disengaged worker and a great description. Now give the opposite side of that. What are engaged workers going to look like? And then kind of share, all right, what did that engaged leader look like that caused it?
Well, I'll give you a good example. I think all of us use Google Maps at one time or another. Google gives people up to 20% of their time to work on special projects inside the company. So a small group of people, half a dozen people, went out and created Google Maps. From scratch. Of course, Google then integrated into all of its systems, but they created the basic Google Maps, and I still can't figure out how it was done, but we all use it,
mm-hmm.
you know, or Apple Maps, but it's so, or Waze, but these things are so breakthrough. Now, what the leader had to do, there was a leader of the small group that was inspired, and they worked long hours on weekends. They got really excited about figuring this out, and they're obviously geniuses, and They should be rewarded. I don't know how much they got rewarded. But the leader of that organization, Larry Page, and people working for him, gave them the freedom to do that and believed in him and trusted him. And then when it came to the point of taking this idea and putting it into all the Google systems, committed the funding. And that made a huge difference for Google and for all of us, their users. So that kind of thing. We had a lot of these skunk work projects come out of Medtronic, and it's transformed human health. Mm-hmm. Things like the treatment of Parkinson's disease and cerebral palsy and what we call minimally invasive cardiac surgery. We had engineers who wanted to go do this. They got so excited about it and working with doctors who wanted to make a difference. And it really transformed human health in many, many ways. But it's only because people were inspired by the mission of the company and had the freedom to go do it. And if they hadn't had the freedom and, frankly, the support of management, the organization could have crushed them. And so there's several times as CEO I had to step in and support people that the organization felt were taking too radical moves. I said, look, we're going to continue this and find out whether it works or not. I don't know if it works. I'm not a genius, you know. But it not all of them did, but the ones who did have had such a huge impact.
That's amazing. What a great personal story. I know we have people listening to this show that they truly are a step above. They're already trying to move ahead in their career, and they want to be great managers, great leaders. And I know that in True North that you talk a lot about self-awareness and really understanding, you know, who you are. And you can do that through examples. But would you mind giving a little bit of maybe advice or a couple of tips of people to really understand how they can develop self-awareness?
This is one of the hardest things to do. And when I wrote the first book, True North, we actually didn't know. We knew how important it was. In the last 10 years, we've really learned. And so the whole chapter on self-awareness and Discover Your True North lists out how you can do this. And it's kind of surprising, and it's off-putting for some people, because you have things in like, you know, that you need some form of reflection and introspection time. I haven't meditated for 20 years, but now, or 40 years. Now, mindfulness is, everyone's talking about it. Well, yep. How do you become more mindful? That's a way to do it. Or, mm-hmm. You know, it can be many, many ways. Maybe it's taking a jog or a long walk, but something where you're thinking about making sure you give precedence to the importance over the immediate, because mm-hmm. The tasks often take control of our lives, particularly in a 24/7 world. And you need to pull back from. The second thing is getting honest feedback from truth tellers around you, like having people around you, got support groups, having people who will tell you when you're getting off track. The third thing is getting 360 feedback from your subordinates. I found that I learned a lot more from the criticism or critique of my subordinates, or even my students at Harvard Business School, that I learned from my bosses. So I think it's essential today that you get feedback from the people doing the work you work with every day, that don't just see it's your best, but see it, the good, bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I've talked to several people that are experts in the mindfulness area and becoming mindful. I like your example of meditation, because whether it's meditation or prayer or whatever people do to have that quiet time for themselves to really reflect and think, it's so essential to have that type of habit in your life. And in this 24/7 always on world, what I'm finding is that the leaders that are struggling the most are the ones that are slaves to the calendar and to their appointments. Are you seeing similar results in what you're seeing?
Boy, you really get it. You're absolutely right on both scores. And you cannot can't get addicted to your machine or slave or captured by your calendar. You've got to decide how you want to spend your time and carve out some time for yourself. Mm-hmm. It's pretty hard to do these days, but if you don't do it, you won't make good decisions. My experience is that people who take that time make much better decisions. They tend to be more open to other people's opinions, and getting some clarity about those decisions so you're not letting all the distractions rule your life. And in addition to that, that you know, my most creative ideas come out of this reflective time, this meditation. Mm-hmm. When you've got a lot going on in your mind, you can't be creative. You know, you're thinking about, oh, I got to get this done. I got to get this done by 3 o'clock. You know, I don't have time. You know, but you're not really being. And, you know, creativity really matters in organizations. And if you want to ensure that you're going to get that creativity, then you've got to take time to do it and set times aside for it.
Beautiful advice for all of us, Bill, and thanks for saying that. The thought occurs to me, and I'd like your thought on this. It seems to me that in decades past, this getting to be a slave to your calendar was actually encouraged. We wanted everybody to be maybe 110% productive. You know, it was encouraged for people to take everything home with them. If you didn't get it done tonight, get it done on the weekend, whatever you need to do. But it just seems to me that we kind of encouraged some of that behavior. Is that a fair assessment, or is that just in my experience?
No, I think we encouraged, and I was partly guilty. I used my subordinates to say, Bill, you know, you got to carve out some white time in your calendar, you know, and they were right, you know. I did a lot of it in my own time, but enough for work. You need time to really be with people. Mm-hmm. And so I changed dramatically a lot of things I did because of that, because it was so important to be out there with people doing the work, you know, and really getting out and you know, getting out and walking the floors and talking to people. You learn a lot more that way than you do just sitting in a, there's too much middle management 101, sitting in conference rooms and reviewing numbers.
Oh, my gosh,
and,
yes.
You know, that you have limited ability to change, and we're just overmanaged and underled. That's the issue. That's the thing and reason I wrote Discovery Juno, because I feel it way too often are overmanaged and underled.
I'm writing that down, overmanaged and underled. That is so awesome and so darn true. It's scary. The biggest complaint I have when I'm mentoring people and coaching people today, they'll talk about their bosses, and they complain nonstop about being in meaningless meetings, that the meetings had no agenda, no point. It's like, why are you in that meeting instead of talking with your own people? And there's just not enough true interaction and personal coaching going on for people to really understand their role in the organization.
Exactly. I'll tell you a little side story. When I joined Medtronic, I'd had 25 years experience in high-tech business, and I knew nothing about healthcare and medicine. And so I teamed up with a man who became vice chairman, and Glenn Nelson, who was a medical doctor. He taught me so much about that. So you need stronger people around you. But more significantly, I went up and gowned up and saw over 700 procedures of our products being implanted in people, where you put on the greens, you go into the doctor, watch them do surgery, open heart surgery, brain surgery, all kinds of things they were doing, angioplasty and stents. I learned so much from watching these things, and that's how I learned the business of getting out there in it, and that was invaluable to me.
Oh my goodness, and wouldn't it be great if others were doing that today? The truth.
I told everyone at Medtronic, you got to go do this. And so, you know, it's because we got to get out with our customers. You got to, if you're in the retail business, you need to be out walking the floors. You know, you need to be out. If you're in the pharmaceutical research, you need to be down in the labs with the people.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned Zuckerberg earlier, and one of the things, he truly understands his customers, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And you know, that's hard because he's got how many, a billion customers?
Yeah.
How does he keep track of all these people? But, you know, that's to his credit that he's trying to understand all that. And, you know, and frankly, it's stunning to me how big the world is out there and how people come to you from all over the world.
Yeah, it's so wonderful today to be able to, just like today, we'll be speaking to people literally all over the world, and they'll all be learning, which is just an amazing thing. So our collective understanding gets better. We just need these good examples that people like you are providing. And your work is incredibly valuable to all of us, Bill, and really appreciate your contributions to management and leadership throughout the world. As we kind of summarize a little bit today, one of the things that I'd love for you to do is, if you would, what would be the top two, maybe three things that you would advise young managers, young leaders to do today to begin to have a fulfilling career that they can be proud of one day down the road?
Well, thank you for asking. That's really why I wrote the book, so young leaders would go out and think about their lives and careers and not just, as we say, follow the herd or do whatever society's doing today. So I think the most important thing they could do is talk to friends, mentors, and other people and find out what really moves them. Where are their passions? What excites them? What in their life stories or the challenging times they faced in their life has really had an impact on their lives? And then go do it. Mm-hmm. Have the courage to pursue what you really care about. And you say, well, maybe I make some more money doing something else, but I'm not excited about it. Well, then don't do it. You know, do the things you're excited about, and the money will follow. Trust me, and that's been my experience. If you chase the money will run out. But mm-hmm. if you go chase, follow your heart, and do what your intuition tells you is where you ought to be, then in the end, you will be very successful. And keep doing that. Keep checking in every day. Am I doing, as Steve Jobs used to say, am I doing what I really want to do today? And not every day is going to be yes, but the answer is no too many days in a row, then you need to rethink what you're doing. As I tell people, you know, better to go out and sit on the beach. So I'd much rather see people be focused on how they can make a difference in the world than they would just be careerists. Because the careerists run out of steam eventually, mm-hmm. and people see through them, and they don't really make it. And I think young people today, why waste your life doing something you don't really love?
Great point.
And you only got so many good adult years. Take them, run with them, you know, when you're ready to go. Don't stand in line.
You know, I guess when you're young, you think, okay, well, it's kind of, I'm just paying my dues. Well, why are you thinking that way?
Because right. Why are you sitting around just paying your dues? Get out there and do your own thing. So that's really why I wrote the book, Discover Your True North, is to inspire a new generation to do what they really love to do. And, you know, they'll be very successful if they do that.
That is such wonderful advice. And Bill, I know people are going to want to follow more of your work, and I know we have the website. I'll make sure that we're connected to the book for sure, so that all they'll do is just click a link to get to it. But if for those that would like to connect and learn more about you, tell them how they can connect more closely with you and follow your work.
Well, I've got two websites. One's a book website, discoveryourtruenorth.org, and I've got a personal website, billgeorge.org, and I'd love to hear from people. I'd love to hear their stories and their questions and what they want to do, and we have ways that people can do that in all cases. And I've tried to summarize all my best ideas in the new book, and frankly, I'm very proud of it. I think it's the best one I've written just because it's trying to put together all the things I've learned in the last 30 years into sharing that with people so they can be inspired and go make a difference in the world, to me, which is all of our goals, is we want to leave something behind when we spend our time here on Earth, and that's, you know, you can't take it with you.
Well, that's awesome, Bill, and you know, just to back up what you're saying, I think you should be proud of this book. It truly is outstanding work. And you're not alone in believing that it's your best work. Many others agree, and I'm talking about people that are very well known, people like David Gergen and Tom Rath and Alan Mulally and Arianna Huffington and many, many more, who all believe that this is by far the best work you've ever done, and you've done great work all your career. So I want to encourage everybody to go get their personal copy, start learning, and start living the life that they dream for themselves. And Bill, I want to thank you so very much on behalf of the Manager Mojo audience today for sharing your heart and your wisdom and for really taking the time to teach all of us. Thank you so very much.
Steve, it's such a privilege to be with you and such an outstanding leader yourself. Thank you.
The Manager Mojo podcast is brought to you by the graduates of the Mojo Leadership System, a proven method of refining and accelerating your management and leadership skills. Go to mojoleadershipsystem.com to learn more. In order to receive a special $250 discount on this training, enter the word podcast in the shopping cart. That's mojoleadershipsystem.com and enter podcast as our thank you for listening to the Manager Mojo podcast.